y'all want to start 1 minute early? All right. Praise the Lord. That's great. Good to see y'all here this evening. And those of us that are online, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Trade My Sorrows. Trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. We say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I am pressed but not crushed, persecuted not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for His promise will endure. His joy's gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, His joy comes with the morning. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. We say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I am pressed but not crushed, persecuted not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for His promise will endure, that His joy is gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, His joy comes with the morning. Yeah, I'm trading my sorrow, trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from heaven. grace flows down and covers me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me, it covers me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me, it covers me. Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, join in a song with sweet accord, and thus around the throne, and thus around the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Amen. That's a good one. Anybody have a pick a hymn this evening? Or we can do that one again? All right, well, praise the Lord. That's okay.
Prayer breakfast this Saturday. Doing it in-house. Oh, Frank, they're putting it on you. The men are cooking it, Frank. The men. Amen, Brother Ron. All right, very good. Saturday, 7 a.m. Frank's thinking that through. 7 a.m. What? Frank's thinking 7 a.m. I don't know. Yeah. John's a good cook. He can cook. All right. Any praises in there out there? We digress. Anybody have a praise? All right. All right. No praises? All right. Prayer requests.
I got one from Sharon Heiberger. Please continue to pray for Justin's healing and for peace while he waits with not much to do.
Yeah.
Also, Mom asked for unspoken prayer.
All right. So, let's see here. Sharon Heiberger. Heiberger, Justin. And unspoken for Miss Vicky. Okay. All right, all right. Those of you that have unspokens?
I've got a...
Okay. Very good, brother. Go for it. Yes, sir.
I've got a spot on my forehead the doctor looked at and wants to cut out and have it biopsied.
All right, Vince. Are they calling it possible skin cancer? Okay. Forehead. What else? Anybody else got one? All right, Tiffany, you have a prayer request? For the shooting in, where was that, Tennessee? What part of Tennessee was that in again? Nashville, Tennessee. At the Presbyterian Church, y'all remember the name of the church? Right, at a Presbyterian Church. Huh? Covenant Presbyterian? Covenant Presbyterian is a K through 6, I think. Covenant K through 6. Covenant Presbyterian Church and School. Outstanding. What else? Yeah, Frank? Yeah, Iowa. Uh-huh. Right. Got a second opinion. Uh-huh. Yeah. What's the young man's name again? Gary. Okay. Gary Klagel with a K? Klagel. That's right. Yeah. Amen. All right. And what leg is it? Left? Left, right, left? Right leg. Right hand leg. Below the knee. Wow. Okay. Yes. Gary Klagel. All right, we'll lift him up. Yes, ma'am. Right. Still missing. And how many days are we now? 19 days. Okay, okay. Very good. What else? Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Okay, Jean's friend lost home, burnt down. Fire got it. Okay, lost home. Back in Stagecoach. By fire. They lost what now? Oh, my. Whenever a fire is starting. Oh my goodness. Too late. Yeah, wow. Yes, Sir John. Yes. Tell me that name again. Her name? Lorna. Lorna Wade and Bobsy on the April 6th. Do have her home. Very good. All right, all right. What else? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. What else? Anything else? Okay. What's our temperature look like back there, brother? People are... 72 to 76 is the range? It says it's 70 down here. Yeah, it's too cold. Don't turn the heat on. Just turn the air off. Yeah, we don't need no heat. Just turn that air off, man. All right. Turn the fan off. Okay. All right. Amen. Y'all ready? Let's pray. Let's lift these things up tonight. Amen. Yes, sir. I got them. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to bear one another's burdens, Lord, and to enter into this intercessory prayer ministry. Lord, we're thankful for our salvation. We praise you tonight for your grace and for your goodness, Lord. We look forward to this coming Lord's Day. If you have not raptured us home by then, we look forward to observing the Lord's Supper together. Father God, I pray our hearts would be prepared and ready to receive the supper, communion, the Eucharist, Lord. We look forward to it. We praise you for it. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for your body. And Lord, I pray that the message out of Matthew's gospel on the institution of the Lord's Supper, transitioning from the Passover to the Lord's Supper, Lord, I pray it would speak to the hearts of the people, and it would speak to those that are online. We just pray that in advance. Lord, just pray that you would anoint that time and anoint that service in a special way. Lord, the mystery of the Lord's Supper, we don't quite understand it, but we sure do love getting to do it. So we just praise you and thank you for that. Lord, as we think about these prayer requests tonight, we lift up Sharon Heibarger, and we pray for Justin, her request. We pray you continue to help him, Lord, and heal his bones, and Lord, help his mind as he's there in neutral, in that infirmary department as he heals up. We pray that he would heal ahead of schedule, and that, Lord, he would get to do his run and finish his basic training there with the Navy. Lord, we think about all the unspokens. Mrs. Vicki certainly has some unspoken she wants prayed for, and several people lifted their hands up here this evening, Lord, that represent unspokens. And Father God, we're thankful that we can voice these things up to you privately, but we can all kind of together in unison pray for it and pray for them, Lord. We don't actually know each other's unspokens or the details of each other's unspoken, Lord, but we just pray a general prayer that you might help us, and that you might take these things, Lord, and turn them into benefit and turn them into blessings, and just bring things full circle, bring reconciliations, Lord, and spiritual breakthroughs for some and salvations for others, Lord. We just lift these situations up to you, and thank you, Lord, that you hear our unspoken prayer requests. We lift up Vince to you tonight, and we're praying for this possible cancerous growth on his forehead. Lord, we pray that it not be cancer. We pray that the doctor be able to get it all when he takes it off here in a few days. And so, Lord, we just lift Vince up to you and pray that that would go well, and that you would heal that part of his body, and that, Lord, he wouldn't have any more cancer issues or cancer scares when it comes to his skin there on his face or on his head. Lord, we continue to pray for this situation up in Nashville, Tennessee, with this horrific Christian school shooting. And Lord, we just pray that you help those folks as they go through the grieving process. We pray a special prayer for that pastor as he seeks to try to minister to his own congregation and those in the school after losing one of his own children. So Lord, we pray that you might bring folks from that Presbyterian home office to help him, and part of that presbytery, Lord, to minister to him and to minister to his congregation. And Lord, we pray that you'd see those folks through. We pray hedge of protection, Lord, around our Christian school here. And Lord, we pray that you just keep the enemy, keep the evil away from it. And Lord, we just pray that you protect it and watch over our children and our teachers each and every day as they gather to have school here. Lord, we lift up Gary Klagel to you tonight. And Lord, we're praying for his right-hand leg, and we're praying for his healing. We pray that if it be your will, he'd get to keep this leg. And Lord, in keeping it, it wouldn't be a burden. It wouldn't be something that's going to cause him great pain and great hardship. Lord, we pray you might touch that leg and bring it back to usefulness and help him keep it. And so, Lord, we pray for these physicians. We pray for those that are trying to keep it, Lord, and are for keeping that leg on. We pray that they do their due diligence and they give a good plan of attack or ministry to this part of his body. And that, Lord, it turns out favorable for Gary Klegel. Lord, we continue to pray for Kaylana Turner, and we pray for her parents. We pray for her extended family. We pray for all those that have searched for her, Lord. We pray for those that might run into her, come across her, Lord, that they would recognize who she is. They would contact the right authorities, and, Lord, she might be found. She might be brought home. Lord, if she is going through a manic episode or a mental episode, we pray that you might slowly bring her out of that and help her regain some sense of who she is and where she's at and what's transpired. And, Lord, maybe even herself, she'll reach out and try to get some help and try to get back home. But, Lord, we just put this situation up to you. 19 days, been missing. And, Lord, we just pray you would bring this to a safe and she's alive close to the whole deal, Lord. So we just pray for her. We lift up Jean's friend to you and the loss of her home back in Stagecoach. And, Lord, we pray that you would help them go through the process of getting that insurance money and, Lord, then help them through the process of rebuilding. And, Lord, help them as they go through the loss of all their pets and trying to come to grips with all that. And, Lord, just a lot of emotion, a lot of things happening for that family. And so, Lord, we pray for them. And then, Lord, we lift up Ron's sister to you, Lorna Wade, as she prepares for this biopsy on April the 6th. Lord, we pray that they are able to find a treatable cancer. And, Lord, we pray that they have medicines and treatments that will really get after this cancer that's in her body. Lord, we pray even now that before she receives treatment or before they have identified what cancer she has, we pray you might begin to bring healing to her. You might remove that cancer from her body completely. Lord, you're still doing miracles because you're still on the throne. And, Lord, you're the great physician, so we just lifting Lorna up to you and praying for her health. And then, Lord, we also pray for John's children as they navigate all the different aspects of care and the aspects of this disease. Lord, just give them wisdom, give them discernment. Help them as a group of children. Help their mother, Lorna Wade. So, Father God, we lift these requests up to you. We thank you for hearing us tonight. Lord, open our hearts and our minds as we get into the Word. And, Lord, as we talk about these delicate things, Lord, we want to do due diligence and study your Word. But, Father God, we want to be respectful as well. So help us find the balance in the midst of all this. And we seek to bring glory and honor to your name. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right. Well, we're going to be in Leviticus again tonight, and we're talking about this second installment on these four chapters, 12, 13, 14, 15. And we've made some headway in looking at 13, 14. And we're now kind of coming to 12 and 15. 13, 14 go together. 12 and 15 kind of go together. And so we seek to kind of do some things with 12 and 15 tonight. Now, I won't be reading in an entirety chapter 15. You're more than welcome to read chapter 15 on your own. It's a long chapter. It's 33 verses. It's a good, meaty chapter. So you feel led to read that. That's a good thing. I just, some things are uncomfortable to talk about, even with your spouse, right? And just imagine how uncomfortable it is as your pastor up in front of you talking about it. So you big boys and girls, you know how to read, so you want to read chapter 15? I've read it. I've read a couple times. You get in there and read chapter 15, and as I share some things tonight, may connect the dots for you, and you may get something out of it. I don't know. But we will read chapter 12. That one's not as long, and I think we can get through that one okay. All right? So laws of motherhood. Amen? In my Bible, chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, you don't have to stand for that. We'll just read it right quick. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel." Those of you with me online, good to have you tonight. We're in Leviticus chapter 12. "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, when a woman gives birth and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean for 7 days, as in the days of her menstruation she shall be unclean. On the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Then she shall remain in the blood of her purification for 33 days. She shall not touch any consecrated thing nor enter the sanctuary until the days of her purification are completed." Now, we'll not get to this tonight, but notice what it says in verse 5. "But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean for 2 weeks." What's that all about? We're going to get to that probably on Sunday night. "For 2 weeks, as in her menstruation, and she shall remain in the blood of her purification for 66 days. See how everything's doubled there for a girl baby? What? Verse 6, "When the days of her purification are completed for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the doorway of the tent of meeting a one-year-old lamb for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who bears a child, whether male or a female. But if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, the one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean." Now, that's our reading for tonight. What we've kind of already covered on, this is Wednesday, Sunday night, days are running together. We talked about uncleanness resulting from skin disorders. We were in chapter 13 and 14 then. We did go over the characteristics of the unclean skin disorders. All these skin disorders share some very similar characteristics. We covered those kind of in, not really in depth, but we touched the high points. And then we ended with, what are the consequences of being declared unclean? And we'll kind of go over that as a review. Things which were declared unclean in chapters 11 through 15 either had to be purified or they had to be destroyed. And we went over several scenarios. It could be washed with water, Leviticus 11:32, 15:6. It could be burned with fire, Leviticus 13:52, 13:55, 13:57. The item or the article could be broken, Leviticus 11:33 and 11:35. Or talking about a house or a structure, it could be torn down and demolished, Leviticus chapter 14, verses 40 and 41 and 45. Now, we said people who were declared unclean by the priest, they suffered the humiliation of being declared, and in some cases, of having to declare oneself unclean. And so then the resulting isolation from the presence of God and from association with the people of God, you can see how it would bring about humiliation. You could see how it would bring about some feelings of loneliness. That which was unclean was put outside the camp. It was put away from the presence of God and his people, as 14:8 related to us. And in some cases, the unclean thing or person was viewed as being a contaminator of others. And we looked at several passages and read those as well in Leviticus 15, 4 through 12, 23 through 24, and Leviticus 15, 26 through 27. Now, as we begin tonight, we're talking about, as we start, the cleaning process. Once the individual recovered from his or her unclean condition, there was carefully prescribed ritual of cleansing and at times a sacrificial ritual, which we read about when we talked about childbirth, which was required before the person could approach the dwelling of God, the tabernacle. Okay? Remember, all this is kind of dealing with how we approach God. Remember, this whole little series on these four chapters is kind of entitled Don't Offend God. Amen? So this is kind of the second installment. So cleansing rituals, you could kind of wash and then wait. All right? Leviticus 15, 7 through 11, 15:17, 15:18, 15:22. Again, you're more than welcome to read that chapter on your own. Atonement for cleansing, all right? We can touch that one. 14:20, the Word of God reads, "The priest shall offer up the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him, and he will be clean." And then 14:31, and then chapter 15, verses 14 and 15, the cleansing ritual, atonement for cleansing, wash and wait. Number three, the cleansing ritual with the string, the cedar, and the birds, which was for cleansing a house. What you talking about, Willis? Well, let's look at that one. Amen. That's chapter 14, 49 through 53. "To cleanse the house, that he shall take two birds and cedar wood and a scarlet string and hyssop, and he shall slaughter the one bird in an earthenware vessel over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet string and with the live bird and dip them in the blood of the slain bird as well as in the running water and sprinkle the house seven times. He shall," you see that? "He shall thus cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and with the running water, along with the live bird and with the cedar wood and with the hyssop and with the scarlet string. However, he shall let the bird live. He shall let the live bird go free outside the city into the open field. So he shall make atonement for the house, and it will be clean." Ultimately, for the Israelite, there was the annual Day of Atonement. And we're not going to steal the thunder from that, but that's coming in chapter 16, all right? So there's the Day of Atonement, which we'll focus when we get to that chapter, right? Now, hopefully, we can easily see why the kinds of exterior maladies described in chapters 13 and 14 are offensive to God. The things which are unclean in chapters 12 and 15 are a bit more perplexing. And that's where I struggle with, why does a baby girl make a woman unclean longer than a baby boy? It just gets to some perplexing things. Now, when you get to 15, I'm not trying to make light of it, but you can call all of that dishonorable discharges, all right? So you read chapter 15, dishonorable discharges. That's kind of what that chapter's about. Now, uncleanness resulting from these discharges, Leviticus chapter 12 and 15, chapter 12 describes the uncleanness which a woman acquires as the result of the birth of a child. The uncleanness is the result of the flow of blood following the birth of a child. The blood, while it is unclean to her and others, however, is the instrument of her cleansing. In the text, we read it when we read chapter 12, Leviticus 12, 4 and 5, it is called the blood of her purification. The blood is impure, I suspect, partly because it removes the impurities of the childbearing process from her body, thus making the blood unclean and defiling. The explanation for having a girl child results in a doubled time of uncleanness. That's a difficult thing, and most efforts to solve this puzzle by theologians, it proves unsatisfactory. Now, chapter 15 declares certain discharges as unclean. Two of the ailments pertain to men, the other two to women. So as you read that, just know that. Both the men and the women have what we might be called normal discharges for men, chapter 15, verses 16 through 18, and normal discharges for women, chapter 15, verses 19 through 24. And then there are some abnormal discharges for men, verses 2 through 15, and some abnormal discharges for women, verses 25 through 30. If I said chapter 2 through 15, I meant verses 2 through 15. Now, I think that it is safe to conclude that these chapters generally are referring to those discharges which are relative to physical intimacy and the organs that pertain to reproduction. In chapter 12, the woman who is unclean due to bearing a child must offer sacrifices, including a sin offering. The inference is clearly made that there's some kind of sin to be atoned for. In chapter 15, the unusual discharges of men and women also require sin offering, among other things. Now, why is there the suggestion that sin is related to reproduction? Why is there a suggestion? This is not, it's not a new concept to the Israelite. It's kind of foreign for us to think about it, but it's not a new concept to the Israelite. In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve were said to be ashamed due to their nakedness, right? Remember? Chapter 3, verse 7, right? They ate from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what'd they find out? I ain't got no clothes on, right? And they were ashamed, right? Even when they made coverings for themselves, they were still ashamed and hid from God, chapter 3, verse 10. Now, in Exodus 19, God gave these instructions to the people through Moses, right? We're talking about how this is not new to them, right? Uncleanness resulting, or I'm sorry, I'm wanting to talk about Exodus. Hold on. In Exodus 19, God gave these instructions to the people through Moses. Exodus 19, verses 14 and 15. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. He said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. Okay? Now, Exodus 20, God told Moses to tell these words to the people. Exodus chapter 20, verse 26. And you shall not go up by steps to my altar so that your nakedness will not be exposed on it. Again, when Moses was given instructions on Mount Sinai concerning the garments worn by Aaron, God said this in Exodus 28, 42 through 43. He says, you shall make for them linen breeches to cover their bare flesh. They shall reach from their loins even to the thighs. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they enter the tent of meeting, or when they approach the altar to minister in the holy place, so that they do not incur guilt and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and to his descendants after him. Thus, when we read in Leviticus 12 and 15 that discharges related to sex and reproduction cause a man and or his wife to be unclean, this should not take us totally by surprise. The regulations of Leviticus concerning sex-related uncleanness serve the important purpose. This is where it gets good. All right, this is where it all kind of makes sense. The regulations of Leviticus concerning sex-related uncleanness serve the important purpose. Are you ready for this? Of separating physical intimacy or sex from religious worship, right? From religious worship. If one had physical intimacy, sexual relations with his wife, this rendered both of them unclean until evening. This meant that the Israelites could not have physical intimacy, sexual relationship, during the Sabbath, since this would cause both to be unclean, thus prohibiting their participation in worship. What's the point? The effect was to encourage the Israelites to keep their minds devoted to worship, right? When it's time to worship, it's time for what? It's time for worship. Ideally, now God gave us physical intimacy, did he not? Amen. He gave us a man and a woman. He gave them physical intimacy. He gave them the ability to become one physically and mentally and emotionally, spiritually, all that stuff. Ideally, both sexual intimacy and spiritual intimacy require the undistracted involvement of body, soul, and spirit. So think about that. You know, for married folk, you know, when they're being intimate with each other, it's not just the body. It's their souls. It's their minds. When God said you will become one flesh, you're becoming one flesh. And when we come to the church house, or when we get in our prayer closet, or whatever it may be, when we're focused on God in worship, it's all of us that's worshiping Him. Amen? I think that's the point. It's body, soul, and spirit. Amen, amen? Yes, yes, yes. Making sense? So this means that either activity should be engaged in apart from the competition of the other, is the point, right? No competition with the other. And one can see a similar theme in Paul's practical instructions to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, the separation of sexual activity and worship was particularly important to the Israelites because, I've mentioned this people group before, because of the pagan worship rituals of the Canaanites. There they are, amen. Whose fertility cult engaged in carnal sexual union as an act of worship. Numbers chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. We can look at that one just real quick. Numbers chapter 25. That one's okay. Okay, verses 1 through 9. While Israel remained at Shittim, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab, for they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor, and the Lord was angry against Israel. The Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel." So Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Each of you slay his men who have joined themselves to Baal of Peor." Then behold, one of the sons of Israel came and brought to his relatives a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the sons of Israel while they were weeping at the doorway of the tent of meeting. While Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest saw it, he arose from the midst of the congregation and took a spear in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through the body. So the plague on the sons of Israel was checked. Those who died by the plague, 24,000. So the Lord does not take lightly fertility cults. He just doesn't do it. I mean, you're going to worship the one true God, you're not going to mix that in with it, right? That's the point, right? Especially when it's a pagan God, that makes it doubly, triply even worse, right? So this was a practice into which Israelites had already once fallen. There were the Canaanites. Exodus chapter 32, verse 6 says, "So the next day they rose early and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play." That's rosing up to play is what we're talking about, right? Now, if the clean, unclean legislation did no more than to create a wide gap between physical intimacy, sex, and worship, it did the Israelites a great favor. All right, see that, understand that, appreciate that. Here we are in the New Testament looking back. Appreciate that. The clean, unclean legislation around physical intimacy distinguished their worship. It distinguished their worship from that of the pagan neighbors all around them. So the pagan folk, the pagan people groups, most of their worship centered around these different kinds of fertility cults where they would have prostitutes and all kinds of crazy stuff in the midst of their worship. It was debauched, it was evil, it was demonic. And so the Lord is trying to separate the two. Does that make sense? Amen. And so your homework, read chapter 15 if you dare, and you can kind of connect some of the dots that we talked about. And if you have any questions, you're more than welcome to ask. I may or may not have the answer. So this stuff is getting real. The weeds are getting deep, so to speak. Amen? The weeds are getting deep. And I'm not the only one that struggles with this. There's a lot of other theologians that are like, what? But if this is a lull in the book of Leviticus, and you say, well, you know, man, I don't know if this was a good idea to go through. Hey, we're coming to chapter 16. Things are going to turn around because that's the what? Day of Atonement. So hang on. Hang on. We're going to get there. Amen? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, all your word's important. Lord, we thank you that we can study it all. We pray that those who seek to get all the fine detail out of these chapters that we're going to, Lord, you would give them the time and the, Lord, the understanding to grasp those things. Lord, we pray as we go through this that we, even this passage, we become more like Christ because of it. And Lord, we would bring glory and honor to your name. Thank you for our opportunity to be in your word and to study it, and give us safety as we depart this place tonight. We love you, and we praise you for all you do for us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks dismissed. Yeah, yeah, yeah.